This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. We're only 1 month into election year 2026, and it's already clear that the incumbents in Alaska's federal races have a lot of money to defend their seats. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan raised nearly $7.5 million last year, according to his latest campaign finance report. Campaign spokesperson Nate Adams says Sullivan will have the resources he needs to win re-election.
We're feeling incredibly strong about where our campaign is. Our fundraising is on track, and our support continues to grow.
The campaign of Democratic challenger Mary Peltola is also touting its fundraising success. Peltola has only been in the race a few weeks and hasn't had to disclose her contributions yet, but her campaign says she raked in $1.5 million on the first day after she announced. The campaign declined an interview request. Campaign consultant Jim Lotzfeldt, who isn't working for any of the federal campaigns this year, says Sullivan's $7.5 million actually doesn't give him much of a head start.
Mary Peltola is in the middle of a money bomb, and she will raise every bit of that and more, and I think ultimately outspend Dan Sullivan.
Lotzfeldt says the U.S. Senate race is, so far anyway, a referendum on how people feel about President Trump. And he says money only goes so far.
The problem with money in this race is there's going to be so much of it that most people will shoot their TVs and their computers. And I'm not sure how it's going to all get spent in a way that actually is effective.
In the U.S. House race, Congressman Nick Begich III's campaign raised more than $3 million last year. Paul Smith, a consultant to the Begich campaign, says that's an Alaska record for a non-election year.
We feel really good about it and are proud of the start that he has to this election cycle on the fundraising side.
Democratic challenger Matt Schultz, an Anchorage pastor, filed to run against Begich in October. He reported contributions of $300,000 by year's end. Schultz's campaign manager, Mylin McNicholas, says it's a good foundation with contributions from more than 2,000 people. And she says Schultz set a fundraising record, too.
Yep. So it's the most that any first-time candidate has raised in an off year for this seat in Alaska.
An independent candidate is also running for U.S. House, fisherman and retired educator Bill Hill. He hasn't had to file a campaign finance report yet, but his team says he's raised, like Schultz, more than $300,000. The Alaska House of Representatives passed a bill last week that would tighten residency requirements for Alaskans buying hunting or fishing licenses. House Bill 93 aims to ensure that only people who spend enough time each year in Alaska to qualify for a permanent fund dividend can buy resident licenses. Those tend to cost less money and offer higher bag limits than non-resident licenses. State law currently limits resident licenses to people who are physically present in Alaska with no plans to leave, do not claim residency in another state, and have maintained a home in the state for 12 consecutive months. But it does not require that resident hunters actually live in the state for a full year. Representative Rebecca Himshute, a Sitka independent who sponsored the bill, says that definition leaves a big loophole.
The last point means that we allow someone who rents a room in a home from friends, or someone who has a liveaboard boat that's on a trailer, but actually is in the state for less than a month, less than 2 months, potentially less than a week, to hunt and fish and enjoy the higher bag limits that are reserved for residents who are here year-round, shoveling snow, volunteering in their communities, and putting their kids in our schools.
Alaskans would have to be physically present in the state for at least 180 days each year to get resident licenses. There would still be numerous exemptions, including for military service members, students, and others allowed to be outside the state and are still eligible for permanent fund dividends. People who do not qualify for a resident license would have the option to buy a non-resident license instead. A wide range of fish and game advisory committees, tribes, and local governments spread across the state backed the bill. Some 12 House Republicans opposed the bill, including Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe. He says he's concerned the bill would exclude some Alaskans from the benefits of a resident license.
What about those pilots that have vacation homes elsewhere that would like to go spend 2 months in Hawaii, say, and then they have to fly out of state for 15 days a month?
But the bill had broad support and passed with bipartisan two-thirds majority in favor. Here's Representative Dan Sadler, an Eagle River Republican who caucuses with the minority.
Is there a problem? I think that we all acknowledge there is. Is this a solution? I think it is. Is it the perfect solution? No, it's not. But we don't deal in perfect and ideal. We do what's best and what we can do.
The bill now heads to the Senate, which passed a similar bill in 2024. Alaska has some of the highest rates of chronic absenteeism in the nation. According to reporting from the Alaska Beacon, state data show that more than 44,000 students were considered chronically absent from public schools last year. Lawmakers with the Joint Bipartisan Task Force on Education Funding are considering how to support districts in tackling Alaska's chronic absenteeism. In Alaska, the rate of chronic absenteeism peaked at over 48% of students during the COVID-19 pandemic in the 2021 to 2022 school year, according to data from the state's education department. Alaska's chronic absenteeism rate was the highest in the nation, along with Washington, D.C. that year. That rate has only dropped slightly since then in Alaska to nearly 43% of students last year. School districts in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta were among those with the highest chronic absenteeism rates, with the Lower Yukon School District at 68% and the Ubiet School District at 81%. Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Himshute co-chairs the Task Force on Education Funding and said she'd like to see more innovation across school districts, like the Lake and Peninsula School District, who adopted a subsistence calendar in 2017, shortening the school year to accommodate family subsistence fishing and hunting activities. The Ubiet School District also enacted a subsistence calendar-aligned school year in 2023 with an extra half hour of instruction each day, partly to boost low attendance. Himshute also pointed to potential solutions like direct state funding to districts with high teacher vacancy rates, childcare needs, or teacher apprenticeship programs to help develop and train teachers from the school's community and to prevent high turnover. Himshute and other lawmakers expressed interest in more specific data by schools and districts and Alaska-specific factors for absences. She said she expects the task force to make actionable recommendations to be ready by the start of the next legislative session in 2027. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchik coming up.